This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
PDRM recently floated the possibility of higher fines for traffic offences, citing the high number of accidents in the country. The IGP says this was mainly attributed to the behaviour of Malaysian drivers, but also admitted to a general increase in the number of drivers on the roads.
Kita sedar bahawa pertambahan jumlah kenderaan di jalan raya juga menyumbang kepada peningkatan jumlah kemalangan.
While Tan Sri Khalid Abu Bakar was referring to the Balik Kampung rush during the Chinese New Year holiday period, there's no denying that highways leading into and around the Klang Valley are clogged with cars on a daily basis. The National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health has the last number of commuting accidents at more than 28,000 in 2014, up about 35% in the past 6 years. We recently spoke to the National House Buyers Association President, Datuk Goh Seng Toh, whose views concur with the IGP.
Every time there is a major festival, Hari Raya, Chinese New Year, Christmas, something like 200 over people will die in road accidents. And that number seems to be non-negotiable. The police can mount all kind of safety operation. Come end of the festival, 200 over people will die, the majority of whom are motorcyclists. Now, what you say about commuting accident is now higher than industrial accident, I believe you're totally right, because the low-income people are the one who uses motorcycle, who live far away and not close to where their workplaces are. They travel, and that's how they get into accidents, especially some of them has quite a bad road etiquette that endangers themselves. So it's a whole combination of a very complex situation. Distance from their workplace, their attitude towards road safety, basically those are what causes road accidents, especially for the motorcyclists. And it's a sad situation.
What about the daily commute? You have massive traffic jams heading into the city every single day and heading out.
I believe a lot of people work in the city centre, they ride their motorcycles. And of course, by statistics, more of them will get involved with accident. And of those who drive, if you watch the morning traffic jam, you find that the high percentage of those cars are single drivers. In other words, people do not want to take public transport. Maybe there are reasons. I think an average person would be more than willing to take public transport if it is convenient enough. He may have to walk a short distance and they will do that. But then in most of the cases, they would rather suffer the traffic jam and drive their own car rather than to go by commuter or the public transport. We had a campaign that encouraged carpooling, but I believe that was a total flop.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned public transport. Considering the Klang Valley, the greater urban Klang Valley area, do you think all of these areas where people converge to the city centre to work, do you think these outer areas are served well by public transport?
My answer will be no, because I think it's only recently that we thought about this MRT to join up between Sungai Buloh and Kajang. But there are so many other growth centres that are not served by rail, MRT or whatever. So most of the people still resort to driving their own cars.
What about once the MRT is up and running, the LRT extensions, it is an improvement, but how far are we from making sure the entire working population is served?
I think that is a very difficult question to answer. It requires immense research. It requires professionals to do the research. So I would not even speculate on that. But I believe if we look at Melbourne, you know, it is a city that is excellently served by public transport. And their Met system goes to almost every little town in the outskirts. And I think that is what we should be aspiring to achieve.
With thousands of motorists having to endure long commutes to work in the city centre, perhaps the more pertinent question is why Malaysians are moving out of urban areas. Property prices have been rising over the decades, only stagnating in recent years thanks to Bank Negara's cooling measures, and as many urban folk are priced out of purchasing in the capital. This means a properly planned public transport system is more crucial now than ever and should be done together with urban planners. Tuan Haji Nazri Mohd Nordin is the president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners.
During the first two lines of LRT that we have, the Putra line and the Star line, it was never planned in such together with land use planning and whatnot. But with MRT line one, well, slightly better, but it could be better. And line two, they are looking seriously into the idea of transit-oriented development. Planners have been talking about transit-oriented development since the late 80s and the early 90s in Malaysia. We have been talking about this. Only over the last 5 years, the government or the people that are doing MRTs and public transportation and whatnot have that buy-in into having a transit-oriented development.
However, there's still more that can be done.
I think the local authority that have the final say in terms of development, or what can be done and what cannot be done in their area, should also relook those areas that already have the existing public transportation line and the future public transportation line to start replanning those areas that have station. For example, on the Putra line, the Kelana Jaya station, maybe the local authority there should start replanning that area and say, okay, those area around Kelana Jaya station, you can build to higher density. So besides asking Prasarana and MRT or SPAD to look at routing along a development corridor, the local authority also should start planning for the future.
One good example is our neighbours down south.
I always like to compare to Singapore. But our decision makers sometimes used to be, not now, used to be when we compare with Singapore, they don't want to listen. But Singapore is a very good example of how to do good city planning in a nutshell. But like I said, things are looking better. Hopefully, they follow through all the plans that they have been prepared. They paid millions of ringgit for the plan to be prepared, but sometimes they don't follow the plan. That is the frustrating part.
Now, when it comes to planning, the Land Public Transport Commission has received a lot of criticism for a number of decisions, namely the recent bus network revamp, changes to the fares after a restructuring, as well as a number of rail transport price hikes. SPAD Chairman Tan Sri Syed Hamid Albar admits that often trial and error is a necessary part of the process.
I think we learned from the past experience that our urban planning and public transport do not sync. Each operate in its own silo. So now, I think even in all development, we are looking at transport-oriented development. That means it must take into account facilities, it must be connectable, even in the case of housing areas. When you do planning, you cannot do planning in isolation of the public requirements for public transport.
On the transport master plan itself, the urgency of an efficient and wide-reaching system is now more apparent, with road fatalities numbering an average of some 6,000 every year in the last few years. That works up to almost 20 people killed per day on Malaysian roads. 60% of these deaths are made up of motorcyclists. This corresponds with data that shows the lower income group make up a higher number of casualties when it comes to commuting accidents. Hamid Albar admits that public transport needs to cater to all levels of society.
For Kuala Lumpur, we see that there is a limit where road, as different from rail, can take vehicles into the city, can carry passengers into the city, or riders into the city, or self-drive into the city, because it will create jam. And studies have shown jam is costly, it does not increase productivity, it causes delay, it is inefficient. So public transport in the urban area, our plan for, say, Kuala Lumpur, we make the rail sector as the backbone of public transport for Kuala Lumpur and Klang Valley. 40% of the ridership will be provided by rail, and 60% will be other forms of public transport services. So we are tackling one by one, looking at the various issues. Say now, 600,000 people are using rail a day, you know. And I'm sure with the MRT coming in, is going to add in more people would prefer, even though they may think that they have to pay slightly more.
That was Land Public Transport Commission Chairman Tan Sri Syed Hamid Albar. And earlier, we spoke to Datuk Goh Seng Toh, President of the National House Buyers Association, as well as Tuan Haji Nazri Mohd Nordin, President of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. I'm Nadia Aziz, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.